All right. Can I have a couple people help me with the communion? Before Jesus could be resurrected, he had to first be crucified. And in fact, Paul tells us that the gospel is Jesus Christ and him crucified. That is the gospel. If you ever hear anything that doesn't lead to Jesus Christ and him crucified, stop. Don't listen to that anymore. Because it's not the gospel. It must lead to him crucified. Before Jesus was crucified, he instituted the Last Supper with his disciples. And he said, "Take, eat, this is my body." He said, "Eat this often as you will." I think he was really happy. He had been waiting a long time for this particular meal with his disciples. There were some particular things that he wanted them to know. In fact, Paul told us that the only reason that Christians are sickly and die early among you is because they do not discern the body of Christ. He literally said, "You're taking my life into you." Can you imagine the flood of memories that must have went storming through the disciples' minds when he said that? They could be thinking, this is the guy that raised the dead. This is the guy that cast out devils. This is the guy that stilled storms. This is the guy that cleansed lepers. He made the deaf to hear. He made the mute to talk. He made the blind to see. The lame people walked. And he fed multitudes of people with very little. Paul wanted us to look at this bread and discern what Jesus did in his passion. When we look at this bread, we see that it's been beaten, pounded flat. And Jesus' body was beaten and bruised for us. In fact, the Bible tells us that Jesus was beaten for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. Also, you'll notice that this bread has stripes in it. The Bible tells us that it's by his stripes we were healed. And this bread has been pierced. Jesus' body was pierced a lot of places. And he shed blood every time his body was pierced. And it was always intentional. And everywhere Jesus' body shed blood, we got redemption in some area. And if you'll notice that this bread is slightly burned, that means the full wrath of God's fiery judgment, the judgment that was meant for us, was laid on Jesus. So, Father, we're taking of this broken body for our healing and our well-being. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Father, we make it a point to remember the sacrifice of Christ and remember the shed blood of Jesus. We honor that blood. Father, we thank you for that blood of Jesus that was shed for us. It was not spilled on accident. It was purposefully shed. It was a vicious sacrifice. And it's because of that blood our sins are washed away. And it's because of that blood we're justified freely by His grace. And it's because of that blood that we can go into Your presence as if nothing ever happened. We have boldness to do that. And we thank You for that in Jesus' name. Open with me to Mark chapter 16, verse 1. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint Him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he said unto them, Be not affrighted. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold, the place where they laid Him. But go your way, tell His disciples and Peter that He goes before you into Galilee. There shall you see Him, as He said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. You know, everybody had went through a very dramatic event. And Jesus' crucifixion was fresh on their mind. They seen Him in His passion. They seen Him get whipped. They seen Him get beaten. They seen Him carry His cross. So there was a lot of things that they hadn't had a revelation of yet. Understanding was hard. All they knew was this guy that had walked with them, this man that had walked with them, that had slept with them, that had ate with them, that had been on boat rides with them, that had been everywhere with them, was suddenly taken from them. He had taught them in a lot of parables. He had talked to fishermen about catching fish. He had talked to carpenters about building things. He had talked to sheep herders about herding sheep. And he had talked to farmers about sowing seeds. In this moment when they were at the sepulchre at this empty tomb, they didn't realize that all these parables were going to come together in just a very short time. They were going to understand how one seed sown was going to turn them into fishers of men. At this one particular time, though, they focused on their loss. They didn't realize that their greatest loss was their greatest gain. A lot of people don't want to come to Christ because they're afraid they're going to have to give something up. You know, Jesus never said that. Did you know it's not a demand of the gospel for you to quit drinking before you get born again? It's not a demand of the gospel for you to stop doing any of the things that you're doing before you get born again. But the fruits of the gospel, when you get born again, those things will fall away. Zacchaeus was a sinner, a tax collector, and Jesus invited himself to his house. And that made the church people very mad. They were indignant. How could he eat with a sinner? But it changed Zacchaeus' life so much that he made amends for everything he did wrong. You know, Jesus never told him to change anything. Just the presence of Jesus himself caused him to change. I'm reminded of a particular scripture in Galatians chapter 5. We'll go there for just a second. Verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's what the Bible says. So that's the truth. The way it gets taught is don't fulfill the lust of the flesh so that you can walk in the Spirit. I wonder how many people think they have to get themselves cleaned up, have to get their lives in order before they go to church. A lot. There's a lot of people that are trying really hard to live right so they can go to church and be accepted. They'll fail. Because they can't live that way without Christ. And in fact, the Bible tells us to walk in the Spirit. The only way you can walk in the Spirit is to first be born again. A lot of people celebrate Easter and they wonder why. And there's a lot of traditions mixed in with Resurrection Sunday. There's a lot of crazy traditions mixed in. And it causes people to be even more confused when they don't really understand what the real reason of the celebration is. He's alive. He is alive. It took a little bit for the disciples to understand this. In that same chapter of Mark chapter 16, go to verse 15. Now Jesus showed up. And he had some peculiar things to say to them. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Well, now these guys are pretty shaken up. You know, a peculiar thing about what Jesus said when he talked to the women, when the angel talked to that woman, said, you go tell the disciples and Peter that he is risen. Have you ever wondered why he differentiated between the two? Go tell the disciples and Peter. Before Jesus was crucified, Peter had made a bold confession. I'll go anywhere you go. I'll go through anything you go through. And Jesus said, before the cock crows three times, you'll deny me thrice. Before the cock crows, you'll deny me three times. Peter was a broken man. He denied Jesus three times. Can you imagine how horrible he must have felt? But he made it a point to single him out. Make sure you tell Peter. Make sure he understands my total forgiveness. Make sure he understands that he's not separated out. Make sure that you tell him I'm alive. Then before Jesus left again, he told Peter, said, you feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Wow. Talk about restoration. Talk about forgiveness. Peter made a huge mistake, but Jesus had a huge forgiveness. I wonder how many people are holding grudges for somebody for some mistake they made. Well, you don't know what he did. Is it as big as what Peter did? That was pretty big. Wonder how many people are staying at home when they could be in church, but they're staying at home because of a mistake they made. A lot. A lot. I can promise you a lot. And almost every one of them will tell you how some church member reminded them of their mistake. You know, Peter, he could have just wandered off. But Jesus made it a point to not hold his mistake against him. Jesus made it a point to make sure Jesus came back into the 12. And he gave him a big job. And in fact, Peter got to preach the first gospel message after he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. How neat is that? And then they got to see the seed principle in full effect. How God planted one seed into this world. And that seed died and lay dormant for 3 days and night. But then came back to life and sprouted. And then pretty soon he had more seeds. And he had more. And he had more. And today there's been billions from that harvest. But what are we going to do about the resurrection? We celebrate every year the resurrection. But do we hold fast the true meaning of what that resurrection means? I know in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, it tells us that if we believe in our heart that God raised Jesus back to life, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we shall be saved, because it is with the mouth that confession is made unto salvation, and with our heart that man believes unto righteousness. We know that. But that's for us. What about what Jesus said? Go into all the world and preach the gospel. The Bible tells us that the goodness of God leads men to repentance. So we don't have to remind anybody of what they did wrong. They know. I had a lot of preachers condemn me for what I did wrong. I already knew what I did wrong. I didn't need reminded. Nobody else does either. Peter didn't need to be reminded of what he did wrong. What Peter needed to be reminded of was Jesus called them forth. The Bible tells us that all that call on the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. That means everybody on the face of this earth qualifies for salvation. You don't know what he did. Jesus does, and he forgave them. He loves them. He laid down his life for them. He gave up everything he had for them. Out there. You guys are all born again. And Jesus gave you a ministry of reconciliation. That's a pretty strange word. What that basically means is Jesus came down here on this earth. He told us basically that God's not mad at you. If you'll believe on the name of the Lord Jesus, you shall be saved. He talked to us about forgiveness and love. You realize the only time Jesus ever talked to anybody about the law and how they broke the law was religious people that were trying to live by the law, and he showed them how they missed the mark. We're to be his examples. We're supposed to go out into all the world and preach the gospel. That's Jesus Christ and him crucified. We're supposed to tell people how God forgives them, how God loves them. They say, but you don't know the mistakes I made. I don't need to know the mistakes you made. Jesus already knows them, and he already paid for them. So all you got to do is call on the name of the Lord Jesus. Well, I got born again one time. And I made a mistake, and the church nearly flogged me. I ain't going back. Well, you know what? Nobody's going to get flogged in here. Jesus already forgave you for that mistake. And you can come back. I don't have nice clothes. Don't worry about it. Come to church and Jesus will see to it that you get nice clothes. He'll make sure that you'll get your needs met. You know, I got ran out of a church one time because I didn't have nice clothes. That stuck with me for a long time. And somehow I equated that with righteousness. So when I started hearing the word righteousness, I thought, I don't want nothing to do with that. I'm staying away from that. They had a religious idea of righteousness. What I didn't understand is that when Jesus got raised back to life, I got justified freely by his grace. And when I got born again, I got put into right standing with God because of what Jesus did, not what I did. That changed things for me. The love of God that surpasses all understanding is beyond our mind. But we can have a revelation of it in our heart. See, the same way Jesus forgave people that hated him, we can forgive people that maybe we don't agree with. Or maybe they don't do things the way we do them. Or maybe we know what they did and it was bad. We can still go tell people about Jesus and say, look, Jesus took care of that. One thing we need to understand about Jesus and his forgiveness, and you'll never have an understanding of righteousness until you understand forgiveness. And it's because of the shed blood of Jesus. You need to understand that the blood of Jesus that you're counting on to keep you out of the pit of hell, the blood of Jesus that you're counting on to continually wash away your sins, if it's good enough for you, then it's got to be good enough for your neighbor. Because if it's not good enough for him, how can it be good enough for you? It's got to be good enough for all, or it all was a failure. See, sometimes people like to have an attitude that maybe, you know, he washed away my sins, but this guy's a total rat. Did you know you was a total rat until you got born again? He was. You belong to Satan. You were owned by Satan until you got born again. And then you got translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. And God gave you the ministry of reconciliation. And he asked you to go out there and tell somebody. He said, be witnesses of my resurrection. Resurrection Sunday should be celebrated every day. Praise God. Because he is alive, we're alive. Because he came back to life, we got born again. Because he came back to life, we don't have to go to hell. Did you know that's why I got born again? That was the absolute one and only reason I got born again. Because somebody told me, he said, if you get born again, you don't have to go to hell. I had enough preachers telling me I was going to hell. I felt like I had one foot in the gate of hell. I was ready to find a way not to go to hell. I was waiting for somebody to tell me how not to go to hell. Finally, somebody did. Oh, whew. And I mean, it was a fire insurance. And people used to badmouth me, said, all you got was fire insurance. So, yeah, that's good enough for me right now. You just got a get out of hell free ticket. Yeah. I didn't know anything else. Didn't know absolutely nothing about God. And what little I thought I knew, most of it was a lie. But I finally learned the gospel and what he did, and learned what that resurrection means, really means. Learned what he did when I got born again, how he made me a new creature in Christ Jesus. And how he made me the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. But I had to be taught that. See, he did tell us to go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Make disciples. See, one habit we got as a church world is going and getting people born again and just kind of leaving them spinning there in the dust while we go find the next one. But he did tell us to teach them. See, that's what Jesus did with his disciples. He taught them. So you get up enough courage to go witness to a wino or a complete hellion, and he gets born again. Now, are you going to just leave him, or are you going to bring him to church? Are you going to give him a Bible and show him some key scriptures, show him some key things in there, show him how he can have a chance to live, really live? Or are you just going to call it a day at being born again and go find something else to do? He did say, make disciples of all nations. That means it'll take a little bit of time on our part. We may have to go out of our way to do something. But that's okay. There's a special place called the gap. The gap. That's not... Isn't there a clothing line called the gap? It ain't that. God's appointed place. See, there's an altar of judgment. It's called the Great White Throne Judgment. And there's a whole wide world out there with a lot of people that aren't born again that are on a freight train ride headed straight for that altar. God's appointed place for you is in between those people and that altar. The same way Abraham got in between God and Sodom and Gomorrah, and he made intercession for those people. Now, he knew there was a bunch of rats down there. He knew that those people were not living right. He knew there was homosexuals down there. He knew there was people that were down there partying all the time. He knew that people were just going completely crazy down there. And he said, what if there's 30 righteous? Will you destroy the city? And he had to know there wasn't that many righteous down there. What if there's 20? Will you destroy the city? What if there's 10? How about 5? Well, a few righteous people escaped. How can you call Lot a righteous man? Did you know Lot was a righteous man? But he was living in sin. He was doing this stuff. He was living amongst the heathen. He was doing wrong. He was crazy. He was a righteous man. This is what people need to understand. There's people that are born again that are running around out there crazy as the day they were, the day they got born again. And then there'll be people say, well, I seen him say that prayer, but it wasn't real. He wouldn't be like that. He didn't get discipled. But he believed in his heart that God raised Jesus back to life, and he confessed with his mouth that Jesus is Lord. He's a righteous man. He's a righteous man that got delivered out of, you know, he may be delivering him out of one bad experience right after the next. Or you could be like Abraham, a righteous man, where he just walks in with the blessing flowing all over him. Abraham and Lot were both righteous. Lot was righteous because of a covenant that Abraham cut with God. You're righteous because of a covenant. And Jesus is the head of our covenant. You're righteous because of what somebody else did. You're justified because of what somebody else did. You're saved because of what somebody else did. Praise God. Praise God. We're forgiven. And Jesus loves us. He loves us so much that He laid down His life for us. And the Bible tells us that He will never, ever leave us nor forsake us. In fact, the Bible tells us He will be with us unto the end of the age. Now go back down here to Mark chapter 16. And we'll see what happens when people believe God, when they believe Jesus. Verse 20 says, they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. These guys, all of a sudden, they got it. They got it. They knew, they figured out that they were the sowers. They sowed the word. They figured out that they were the reapers. They could harvest. They figured out that they were fishermen and men. All these parables came rushing together all at one time. And they got it. They understood what Jesus was saying. They were out there doing it. And Jesus was with them every step of the way, confirming His word with signs following. Praise God. Praise God. Thank You, Father, in the name of Jesus. We thank You for everything that Jesus did for us in His death, burial, and His resurrection. Father, in that passion. And Father, we thank You for His wonderful, wonderful resurrection. The resurrection that ensures our salvation. That resurrection ensures the gospel promises for us. And because of that resurrection, He sent Holy Spirit, who is always here with us to teach us and guide us and comfort us. He was sent here to be our helper. And Father, we thank You for this. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, we have snacks and coffee back here. Come on back. And we got eggs. We got eggs. My wife made deviled eggs for Resurrection Sunday.